That is the 24 books in the Bible. This is the meaning of this is the table that is before Hashem. Because the table is Malchut, because that is the 12 creatures that are in Adonai, which is Malchut. That is before Hashem, refers to the 12 faces in Yudke Vavke. The vessels on the king's table are the sages of Mishnah, versed in prayer, which the sages compose to correspond to the sacrifices. As I said the other day, this verse is so filled, so overwhelming. It starts out with the priestly blessing. It starts out with Aaron doing the slaughtering of five, I think, oxen, sheep, goats, lambs, and fowl. Five different animals. Why are there five animals that were considered different levels for the five worlds? So it starts out with Aaron as the high priest being told, go slaughter this for the king's table. Now, what is the king's table? The king's table is Malchut, the manifestation, the revelation of light in the physical world. The priestly blessing is designed to bring mercy into the world. The priest is the channel of mercy. Mercy is also Chachmah. It's Chesed, but it's also Chachmah. And understanding that relationship. Now, there are 24 books in the Torah, as the verse says. Why 24? Why are there 24 hours in a day? Why do we keep 25 hours for Shabbat? 24 hours to 24 books represent Hashem on the right, Hashem on the left, and Hashem in the center in the balance point. And they represent Adonai on the right, Adonai on the left, and Adonai in the balance point. Three times the four letters of each of the names. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, four letters. On the right, the left, and the center. Adonai, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. On the right, the left, and the center. The consciousness of unifying those two names on the right, the left, and the center in all aspects is what the Torah is giving us with those 24 books. And this verse ends with the vessels on the king's table are the sages of Mishnah, versed in prayer, because they wrote the prayer to replace the sacrifices. Many people have difficulty with animal sacrifice having to come back with the temple. Now, clearly the temple will be rebuilt, and clearly the temple will have a process and a ritual of burning incense, ketoret. Ketoret brings us closer. But so does the animal sacrifice, because the animal sacrifice replaces us sacrificing our bodies, our animal selves. Will there be an animal sacrifice? If everybody is a tzaddik at the time of Mashiach, the answer is no, there's no need for animal sacrifice. And people will be at different levels of consciousness. There will be tzaddikim who no longer need to sacrifice their animal self. They've already controlled it. But there will be other people who will need to continue to study because they haven't yet learned to control their physical appetites. So those people who have this difficulty with animal sacrifice now have an ability to not think, to fool themselves, that they will not need to be doing animal sacrifice. And maybe they won't, because there will be tzaddikim there who will not need to do animal sacrifice. But for the rest of us, we need to sacrifice all that fat that we've accumulated in this lifetime. We need to sacrifice all those negative actions that we've done based on our thoughts that we didn't control. Verse 20. Patach ve'amar ve'asita shulchan atse shitim ve'gomer tachatzi min hagin tavin v'shapiron havo nahage mare disudata de malka le'achaza adi nun mivne patora de malka had rav rava mivne seudata natil yudo bezimna diye alun li sudata lahasev gadol mesav parosh tinyana tichote utli ta'a tichot tinyana v'ilein itkeriyu. Gimel mitot lekabel talat avahan v'lakabel kohanim levim v'yishraelim mikan v'ilach ve'elach leitlon seder ela kol hakodem deim hakodem zaka. He opened the discussion with the verse, and you shall make a table of acacia wood. Come and behold, those present at the king's feast had goodly and comely customs to show they were members of the king's table. One was that the eldest would wash his hands first. When they entered to sit for the meal, the oldest would sit at the head of the table. The second would be below him, and the third below the second. These are called the three beds, because their custom was each to recline on a bed, to correspond to the three patriarchs, and to the priests, the Levites and Israel, that are Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet. From here on, they had no special order. Rather, whoever came first was seated. I'm really not sure what this verse is revealing. Is it revealing that the Jewish people, who are composed of the three, the Kohen, the priests, the Levites, and the Israeli, are seated at the king's table first in that order of Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, and then in the other nations would come and sit whatever order they arrived at? I'm not sure if that's referring to that. I don't understand it otherwise. Verse 21. Tin yana ba'al habayit botzea kidei sheyutza v'yayin yafa uma ashlim birkata ulvatar botzea v'yokbuha rabbanan de matnitin di'en hamsubin Rasha'in litolaom Achayit dom Hamvarech veletabotzea Rasha'lit om Achayikla Amen mipi Hamsubin Ve'im ru'ute lechalek kavod Harshut bidei Ve'oduk mucha Deoreach Devarech Begin Devarech Leva'al habayit. I don't think we turned the air conditioning. As if the top button goes to the top. The second custom is that the house owner breaks the bread so that he may apportion it generously. He first completes the blessing over the bread and then breaks it. The sages of the Mishnah have said it so that none of those reclining at the feast table are permitted to taste until the giver of the blessing has tasted first. The one who apportions is not permitted to taste until all present have finished saying Amen. And if he wishes to delegate honor by giving to another to break the bread, he may do so. In addition, it has been stated that the guest blessed the blessing after the meal, so he will bless the landlord. In the Berkat HaMazon, when you have three people, you do the Zimun, the invitation.
Three men.
Tamar and I have a disagreement about women's growth. So it's either three men according to the Halakha Orthodox, or it's three people according to the conservative Halakha. Hold on a second, Chris. Bernice, did you want to come on to the class?
No. Let me ask you one question. How you make an appointment?
You want an appointment?
You know, an appointment upstairs with Hashem.
How do you make an appointment with Hashem?
Yeah. I've been up there before, but I don't know how I got there.
Can I call you back to answer this question?
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
My intuition was off. Let's put it that way.
What?
So we are talking about the second custom. During the Berkat HaMazon, the three men or three people do the Zimun, the invitation. Everybody participates, of course. And the person who is given the honor of doing this, the invitation, is also, if the head of the household wants, is given the honor of breaking bread at the beginning of the meal. It should be the head of the house who breaks the bread, but he is able to delegate that to someone he wants to give honor to. But the way the Zohar is describing is not the way I have ever seen any of the various practices follow. And I'm going to start, now that I've read it, to do it this way. What it says is that you break the bread, you do not cut it. Now, in the practice of saying the Hamotzi, we do take a knife and symbolically cut with two actions of cutting, Chesed and Gevurah, the spiritual connection. So the desire to receive has been removed. The negativity has been removed from the breads. We then say the blessing, and then we break the bread, we do not cut it. And we pass that out to everyone else. Well, let me reread this just to be sure. Okay, my reading of this was incorrect, and the way I've seen it performed is correct, so I will continue to follow that. The person breaks the bread into pieces, salts those pieces, then before he passes it down the table, he eats the piece for himself. And he waits until everyone at the table has said amen to his blessing. Then he passes the plate for people to take their piece of bread.
He said the blessing before?
Yes, that's what I'm confirming. He says the blessing before, but he does not give any bread till they say amen to his blessing.
Okay.
Hey, Noik.
Yes.
When I went to the Shabbat at the Chabad, they cut it with a knife.
I know. I saw it. Well, actually, this past Shabbat that we went to this Chabad that you're talking about, he symbolically used the knife. He did not cut the challah with the knife. He tore it. Wait a second. No, okay. He did cut it with a knife.
He made two cuts at the beginning.
He made the symbolic cuts, but then he cut it with a knife so that it would be even. So that the tearing wouldn't, you know, be different sizes. And that is not according to the Zohar, which Chabad says they do follow. But I'm not, you know, whatever his minhag is appropriate for him, I'm not questioning that. The question is, which one do I want to follow? And I'm trying to follow what I understand the Zohar to say. Verse 22. I'm just seeing, we're going to be here a while today. Be'orach raza ba'al habayit bo'tzea da'amuda de'em sa'ita di'hukav de'em sa'ita de'em sa'i uv shabbat sarich libtzoa mishnei kikarot di'inun Hashem Hashem ba'al habayit Davav de emsaita, ugin de laili it chazaa, kira avtanuta, yakil le mikza, ba le kol chad ve chad kabetza, mai kabetza, yud ve yud, inun nekudim, tishma kadisha, it kere, Birure kizaka bekazayit feilen lekabel tipin de zera umandim zalzel bechon bezarik lon beatar de lives terich ani uta karadif abatre viazil navadnad Ahidiktiv noded hula lechem, ayevelet lechem mela, Torah vehud soveyach, ayemandim rachem alei velayishkach. In an esoteric interpretation, the landlord who breaks the bread is the central pillar, which is the central column, which is there on pin. On Shabbat, he needs to apportion from two loaves of challah bread, which are hey-hey of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The house owner is Vav of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, between the two hays. In order not to appear a glutton, he may apportion to each one a piece the size of an egg. What is the size of an egg? It is Yud of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and Yud of Adonai, which are the Yuds or the dots of the holy name called crumbs, the size of an olive. That is Yud of Yud, Hey Vav Hey, is the size of an egg, and Yud of Adonai is the size of an olive. These crumbs correspond to drops of sperm. Therefore, poverty chases whoever belittles and disposes these crumbs in an inappropriate place, and he will constantly wander around. This is what is written. He wanders abroad for bread, saying, "Where is it?" Bread means Torah, and this verse implies that he cries out, looking for someone who will have mercy on him, but will find no one to pity him. Throughout the Talmud and in discussions of sizes, they are frequently referring to a katzat, which here is a crumb, or what is it? A crumb, yeah. A katzat doesn't mean a crumb, it's a unit of measure. A small unit of measure. But they refer to a katzat of the size of an olive, and a katzat the size of an egg. And now we are explaining what that represents, because the Yud from the Tetragrammaton is the size of an egg. And the Yud from Adonai, being on the lower level of Malchut, is the size of the olive. It's a very, very meaningful, esoteric discussion. Now the rest of this verse is really very important. Most people sweep the crumbs of bread that have fallen to the table off of the table and throw it in the garbage. This leads to poverty. Those crumbs should be eaten. I have seen students of Kabbalah in the Kabbalah Center and elsewhere who lick their finger and pick the crumbs up with their finger, and that's what they eat. They lick their fingers off the crumbs as a process of cleaning the table. Now, Tamar is looking at me and saying, "This is not polite. This is not a good thing," she says. And this is why we follow women when it comes to certain subjects, but whenever it's dealing with spirituality, we don't follow women. They're more connected to Malchut. But when it comes to other levels, we must follow them.
No, that's not true. By the nature of women, we don't need the talit tzitzit.
Because you're connected to Bina, we agree. But when it comes to advice given about spirituality, the Torah tells us, the Zohar tells us, do not follow the woman.
This is what
Hanukkah says, Tamar says. But guess what? I have read it. I just don't remember where. Verse 23.
So Hanukkah, we
go ahead.
We go ahead and get the crumbs and eat them. So we go ahead and get the crumbs and eat them then.
Correct. Or put them in a bag and distribute them to the birds.
That's what we do.
So, you know, if you don't feel like, a lot of times there'll be a piece of bread on the table. You don't feel like eating it. But you don't throw it in the garbage. You throw bread and crumbs to the birds, representing continuity. So that bread should never be wasted, should never go to the garbage. You're giving too much desire to receive, too much energy to the negative side when you throw it to the garbage. But the first piece of bread...
I didn't know that.
You know about that, correct? You know about the first
tell
piece
me
of
anyway.
Bread? Chris?
Tell me anyway. Tell me anyway.
The first piece of bread that you tear shouldn't be so overly big, but the first piece is given to the Satan. You just put it on the table, and whoever cleans the table, whoever's walking away first, takes that piece of bread and throws it into the garbage, because that belongs to the Satan. The consciousness is you give it to the Satan, because he's entitled to a certain amount of energy. And by giving him his due, we're hoping he'll stay away from us. And he does.
Didn't know that.
I'm
Didn't
sorry?
Know that.
It's also
Didn't
the explanation.
That.
It's also the explanation for why Job was treated so horribly. Because he never gave any energy to the Satan. He just received the beneficence of God and never shared any with the negative system. And that's written in the Zohar, in the portion of Beshalach.
So give the first piece to Satan and...
Correct. Verse 23. Ufi rurim bekazait inun betzadik dihu katish katishu meinun zetim veorayach mevarech veorach tzadikim kior noga berachot lerosh tzadik Chai almin ugid oreach mevarech. Crumbs the size of an olive belong to the righteous Yesod, who presses these olives, which are the sephirot, extracting oil from them, which is the secret of abundance. The guest blesses, namely the righteous, as is written, but the path of just men is like the gleam of sunlight. And blessings are upon the head of the just and the life of the world. Therefore, the guest who is the righteous, namely Yesod, makes the blessing. Now, this verse is saying you should be sharing that honor with a guest in your home. Verse 24. Ad haki ha butzina kadisha ata legabe viamar raya mehemana yoma chad azildna ana vechavraya leaksanya hada vahava taman yanuka Adakam v'takin lan menarta ufatora ihu migarme keilu hava me esrin shanin vela hava ela mi ben hamesh shanim shanin v'takin petora Mikol mine ma'akal milmishte amar ha'ok buha rabbanan diva'al habayet botzea v'yoreach livarech aval tzair ani liyamim v'yatem yeshishim al kein zechalti v'ira mechavot. Da de I etchem Ad etol reshut michem al neima veri malaka ha da Hashem. As he was speaking, the holy luminary came to him, to the faithful shepherd, and said, "Faithful shepherd, one day I went along with the friends to an inn. There was a child there who rose and by himself prepared for us a lamplight and a table, as if he were 20 years old. Yet he was approximately 5 years old. He set that table up with different dishes and drinks and said, 'The sages have decreed that the house owner breaks the bread and the guest makes the blessing. Yet I am young and you are very old. Therefore I am afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you until I obtain permission from you.' They said to him, 'Speak up, my son, angel of Hashem.'" The holy luminary is Rabbi Shimon, and he's afraid to express himself because Moses is who Moses is. And he's raising the question of the two different patterns we're being taught in these verses of Zohar that appear to be different. One is saying the host breaks the bread. The other is saying that the guest breaks the bread. One is saying that the guest says the Zimun, and the other is saying that the guest says the Zimun. So the guest is clearly saying the Zimun, but we don't know who is to break the bread yet. Verse 25. Amar lan atun ba'itun lechem b'fnuke b'la k'rava o lechem b'krava Tehaki of Muha Rabbanan, Temat Nitin Shaat Akila, Shaat Milchama, Veipa Aito, Lemeheve Kirava, Ale late had Akil Elaman de Natsach, Kirava Ihu Akil Avotsea. Lekulhu al havraya beriant zeir viadayin lad yadat ech migihe gavrin rav ravin becharba beninua decharba beromecha bekashta begirin dekashta bekirta Be'avnim dekirta. He said to us, "Do you wish for delicacies without warring for them, or food by means of war?" That is how the sages of the Mishnah decreed that the mealtime is a time of war. If you desire to battle over it, let no one eat. He who has won the battle shall eat first, and a portion to the rest. The friend said to him, "You are still small, my son, and you have yet to learn how mighty men wage war with a sword, with waving the sword, with a spear, with a bow and arrows, and with slings and stones." The Hebrew word lechem, which means bread, comes from the shoresh, the root of milchama, which means war. And the verse is drawing the two together and explaining why the sages of the Mishnah, or why the Talmud says these two conflicting aspects. It still hasn't answered the question, but it's explaining the kavanah. When you say the blessing over bread, over lechem, you are actually waging war against the desire to receive for oneself alone. 26. Allel, al, al, yitchalel behoger, kim pateach, dehavadai bekriyat shema, uchmuha kol hakore, kriyat shema al mitato, keilu ochez cherev pifiot, diktiv romemot, El bigronam v'cherev pifiyot v'yadam v'ninura d'charba tzarich linan a leilashit sitrin kama d'yuk mucha kedei shetam likutu al hashamayim v'al haaretz v'al dalet ruchot ha'olam v'da vav guf ha'cherev yud rosh ha'cherev ha'hidiktiv tirei kiyot piyot nirtika d'char ba'adonai. He said to us, let not him that girds on his harness boast himself as he that takes it off. It has been explained regarding the reading of the Shema, that whoever recites the reading of the Shema by his bedside is as if he holds a double-edged sword. As it is written, the high praises of Hashem are in their throats, and a two-edged sword in their hand. The waving of the sword needs to be done to the six directions, which are Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, as was explained in order to make him reign over the heavens, the earth, and the four corners of the world, which are the six directions. This Vav of Yudke Vavke, that is Zeron Pin, is the body of the sword, and the Yud of Yudhe Vavhe is the top of the sword. And the two Hays of Yudhe Vavhe are the two edges of the sword. The sheaf of the sword is the name Adonai, namely Malchut. There are 248 words in the Shema. That is Resh Mem Chet, Ramach. Ramach spells the word sword in Hebrew. When we say the Shema, we are bringing a sword. We are connecting that sword of war against our desire to receive for oneself alone with the Creator, with the Yudke Vavke. The sword itself is Zeron Pin. The handle is the Yud. The sword is the Vav of Zeron Pin. The handle is the Yud. The two Hays are the cutting edges, the two edges of the sword that are used to cut away the desire to receive for oneself alone, to cut away the klipot. This is all part of the Kavanah when you're breaking the bread, when you're saying the Hamotzi. Verse 27. Rumcha remach bekriyat shema, imshi tevin te Yehuda, ha romach bemagen, im charba Mikael Gabriel Nuriel Shamashin de gimel avahan. Keshet Dezarik Chitzim Bekol Zera Deino Yorek Kachaitz Eino Molid Kirta Da Kriyat Shema Hashem Avanim Dekirta Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Lekav Lehu Vikach David Chamisha Chaluke Avanim Min HaNachel Vekad Shavei Lechon Bekirta Tehi Shafa Vehi Shekinta Ita Vedu Chad Kulhu Hashem Lekatil Liflish The spear, the sword, Ramach, Reshvav Memchet, is the 248 Resh Memchet words in the reading of the Shema, and together with the six words in the unification of Shema Yisrael, they total Ramach. That is Ramach plus Vav. The shield, Mogen, Magen, is with the sword. That is the three angels, Michael, Gabriel, and Uriel, whose initials form the word Magen, which means shield. They serve the three patriarchs, Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet, as Michael is Chesed, Gabriel, Gevurah, and Uriel, Tiferet. The bow shoots arrows, and any sperm that does not shoot forth like an arrow does not beget offspring. This alludes to Yesod. The sling refers to the reading of the Shema, and the five sling stones are the five words. Hear, O Israel, Hashem our Elohim, Hashem, which are the secret of Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod, corresponding to the verse, and choose him five smooth stones out of the brook. When he placed them into the sling, which is the mouth, by reading the Shema, which is the Shekhinah, all five turned into one stone and killed the Philistine. Metaphorical verse, part of the Kavanah, understanding when you say the Shema, how you are relating to the sword. And then you're using that sword. Well, maybe you'll get into it. If not, I'll remember to mention it. Verse 28. V'yad ka'an zarikna hayavna lisamael tihu even matzor v'harasna matzor dilei v'ashpalna Leilatata uvkid amana lekon al titalel oger kim pateach kean yitparer lechon diana yadana ech maginichin guvrin ravravin besaifin berumcha bekashta bekirta Tavav na velayakil na lemalam kame al rabanan ka'an necheze man yehe marchvach nechama tihu lechem hamotzi. Up until now, I have been throwing the stone at Samael, a stone of siege. I have ruined his siege, and I lowered him down. Therefore I said to you, let not him that girds on his harness boast himself as he that takes it off. Now it will become clear to you that I do know how mighty men wage war, with swords, with spears, with bows and slings. We were astonished and could not speak to him. He said to us, sages, let us now see who shall win bread. That is the bread of the blessing over the bread. Verse 29. Patach v'amar v'haya b'akalchem melechem ha'aretz tarimu teruma lashem babai atrimat shekintadihi hashem Kahamotsidiokimu ala mare matnitim kol habotsea tsarich ledacht deik bahashem elavadai ha ukmuha rabbanan de matnitim mots pateven beturin min hamaser Bekadhim bechok bemotz v'teven ihi bebeit asurin v'leit la reshu li'arama l'gabei mem l'mebad ima mem hei v'hayihu teruma Torah dihi Hashem chumashe Torah deva vayehi Moshe bahar arba'im yom v'gomer. He opened the discussion saying, when you eat of the bread of the land, you shall offer up a gift, truma, to Hashem. He asked, how is the Shekhinah raised? Who is the hay of Hamotzi? Regarding which the sages of the Mishnah have decreed that whoever breaks the bread of Hamotzi have to be precise in pronouncing the hay. He responds, surely it has been decreed by the Mishnah sages that chaff and straw do not require tithing. When Malchut is in the chaff and straw, that is when the klipot are sustained by her, she is in prison, and the hay, the Shekhinah, does not have permission to rise to the mem, which is Zeran Pin, to become with it mem he, meaning yud he vav he, fully spelled with olives of the numerical value of mem he. This is the meaning of truma, spelled as Torah, and mem he, which is he equals five of the five books of Torah, in which is mem, as is written. And Moses was in the mountain 40 days. All of this are plays on the gematria and the understanding of the words within Hebrew. Ma means what? Truma is the letters of Torah plus plus the mem. I'm sorry. Truma is the Torah plus the mem, and it's all relating to different kavanah as you do Hamotzi. Verse 30. Umotz v'cheven d'chita ale ukmucha rabbanan ilan she'akal adam harishon chita v'hava kariv chetet dihu motz v'teven La'at Hashem v'istalik mine yudihu ashur dilau kit kadihu emotz v'teven dinun l'kabel arla ufriya patur min hamaser v'leit rishu le'at yud l'chabra Be'at Hashem dinun ish v'isha uvginda kol habotzea tzarich ledak ketek ba v'tzarich lemivtza me'atar devishulo yafe begin devishul ihu gemer perivada vav. Our sages referred to the chaff and straw of the wheat when they said that the tree of which Adam ate was wheat. For by eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, He drew near Chet and Tet, which are the hus, the klipot, chaff and straw, to the letter He, that is Malchut. The Yud was gone from it, which is Yesod, its tithing. Therefore, when it is in straw and chaff, which correspond to the removal of the foreskin and the uncovering of the male organ, that is, they correspond to the two layers of skin covering the male organ, one of which is cut off and the other is which is cut open. It does not require tithing. That is, the Yud for the letter Yud has no permission to join the letter He, which are a man and a woman. That is the secret of the Yud in the spelling of Ish, meaning man, and the He in the spelling of Isha. Therefore, whoever breaks the bread must be precise, pronouncing He, and must break the bread where it is nicely baked, because the proper ripening is the completion of the fruit. That is the meaning of the Vav, which is Zeranpin, that completes the He, which is Malchut. And we still don't know who breaks the bread. That is the 10 things that one must do. That is the end of the section. On the owner of the house breaks the bread, and the guest recites the blessing, which is what I imagine the halakha actually follows. Any questions, sir?
And lady.
And lady. Do you have a question?
I'll ask it later.
Well, you don't want to share the question?
No.
Do you have any questions, Chris?
No, I don't have any right now.
You have a good evening. We'll call you at 10.
Okay.
Shalom.
I'll be here.